following program contains mature language and potential spoilers. Listeners be advised.
Previously on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I swore an oath.
We all did. To protect the world against the much weirder world.
It's gotta be some sort of activation signal to Hydra members within S.H.I.E.L.D.
We've had a wolf in the herd the whole time. They've infiltrated the highest levels of our organization.
What?
What? You don't have to do this!
Fitz, is he okay?
He's alive.
Your attempt to cross off Fitz and Simmons failed, but Fitz may never be the same again. Since Simmons left, he's only getting worse, talking to himself more and more.
On behalf of the United States Armed Forces, I order you to stand down.
We're not Hydra. We're agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, right now, to the rest of the world, it's the same thing.
Fury always said, a man can accomplish anything when he realizes he's a part of something bigger. You want me to start over? Rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D.
What is this place?
I call it the playground.
It is an honor to meet you, sir.
No, we don't have much, but what we have is yours, Director Coulson.
Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm a legal machine, and with me is
Mr. Fixit
and
Diablo Frank.
And today we're going to talk about
the Marvel one-shots, some of them anyway, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2. We previously did an episode-by-episode discussion of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it was kind of shitty, kind of boring.
Yeah.
None of us really enjoyed that producing that much, and it was just the two of us. Now it's going to be all three of us, and we're going to do it way shorter and with a lot more opinions and probably a lot more expletives as well.
Fuck shit balls.
You guys want to tell these folks what the one-shots were in case they were unaware?
No, you. Please.
Okay. So the Marvel one-shots were produced between 2011 and 2014. They were bonus features on Marvel's Blu-rays or DVDs. I'm not sure which, probably both. And basically, they do these short movies to kind of expand the Marvel universe. I think that the problem was that they cost a little too much money to make. Estimates were in the ballpark of about $500,000 each. I don't think
there was some decent production value.
I think item 47, maybe, but not so much, say, the consultant. That shouldn't have cost
shit. You had Robert Downey Jr. appear on camera, so there you go.
You think he got a payday off of that?
Oh, yeah. Not island money, but he got some. Bentley money.
These bonus features would expand the Marvel Universe, fill it out a little bit, expand upon some stuff that we saw in the movies for the most part.
Bentley, the name of the Vietnamese prostitute that they paid to give him a back massage. Far more expensive than an automobile Bentley.
So the first of these was The Consultant. It was featured on the Thor DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. What happened in the
Dark World or regular?
The first one.
Okay,
first one.
Just Thor.
And it was less than 4 minutes long. What happened in that one?
It didn't go well, did it?
No, it did not.
Did they reject the initiative?
Of course not. But they made the most idiotic, ill-conceived request imaginable. They want Blonsky on the team.
The Abomination.
They really don't like when you call him that.
What about the Harlem incident?
Well, it definitely took a pre-existing stinger and just elaborated on it.
Yeah, the stinger from The Incredible Hulk. Yeah,
where it just had, where Tony Stark walks in on General Ross while General Ross is having a drink. And apparently, Tony is now seen as the consultant, a annoying, know-it-all, ball-busting, everything we love about him.
Basically, General Ross, he's wanting to release the Abomination, who's imprisoned, right?
The World Council, I think there was another word in the midst of that, but I can't remember.
No, that's right.
So these are the guys, the shadow government that was controlling S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're trying to put together the Avengers, and as part of the Avengers initiative, they want to bring in Emil Blonsky, the Abomination from The Incredible Hulk, because they see him as a war hero, they see him as somebody who would work better in the Avengers than the loose cannon that is the Hulk.
Or are they alluding to Thunderbird? Or was it
Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts, yeah. My bad.
No, I'm pretty sure they're really? The Avengers.
Well, and we don't know if they were compromised by Hydra because this was pre-revealed from
True.
Winter Soldier. They want Emil Blonsky. They don't want the Hulk. Phil Coulson thinks that that's a bad idea because apparently he's aware that Blonsky was not exactly the most stable individual himself.
Mind, yeah.
And so he begins to collaborate with another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Jasper Sitwell. Do you guys have any familiarity with that character?
Yeah, doesn't he end up being like a bad dude?
Well, I mean, from the comics.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure because I know the name, but it's not...
He was in some of the very first Nick Fury adventures from Strange Tales. He was a white dude with blonde hair and glasses. He didn't appear a lot after those initial Strange Tales stories. I think that he was one of the agents that was compromised by the LMDs that took over S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's appropriate. They introduced him in this one-shot. He appeared in an additional one-shot, and then he appeared in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And eventually he turned up in the Winter Soldier, and it was revealed that he was a HYDRA agent.
Right, right.
So that's for me, watching the Winter Soldier, having seen all those special features, having seen Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where he plays a role in the first season, it was a big deal. It's like, holy shit, this guy's HYDRA? Holy shit. Whereas if you didn't watch any of that bonus material, you're probably like, he's just some dude who happens to be HYDRA.
Yeah.
And as a dude who had not watched most of that stuff, how did you respond to Jasper Sitwell as a HYDRA agent in the Winter Soldier back?
So now you're asking about Winter Soldier and not about the one that shot?
I'm asking you about Jasper Sitwell.
Man, I could swear I've read some shit with Jasper Sitwell outside of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. He had to have been an Iron Man or something.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Anyway, the dude's super slimy. He was great, I thought.
I think he was in Walking Dead at one point, too, right?
Okay, we're jumping comics here, man.
No, I mean the TV show.
Jasper Sitwell was in The Walking Dead. No, I'm joking. I don't know what your question is, but he's definitely a guy in a movie and also in these one-shots.
They incorporated the Stinger from Incredible Hulk, and it turns out that Tony Stark was very effective at preventing Emil Blonsky from becoming an Avenger.
They basically say, we need to get somebody who's so annoying that it will convince Ross to not do it. And they're like, no, not him. Yes, him. No, we can't get him. And then it turns out the consultant is Tony Stark, who is, of course, so annoying that he convinces Thunderbolt Ross to not only not release the Abomination, but that he tried to have him removed from the bar. And they were like, oh my God, what happened when he tried to get him removed from the bar? They're like, oh, Stark bought the bar and shut it down and had it demolished. It was pretty funny.
Such a Tony move.
Yeah.
So was it worth it for them to produce the consultant?
It's not my money, so absolutely.
I think so. I think these are really... of everything, yeah.
Look, man, I'm telling you, the more we watch some of this shit, always forget about these one-shots. God damn, they did DC dirty, dude. there's more continuity building in these bullshit one-shots than there was in these DC movies. It's so fucked up. I mean, when you consider that they piggybacked off the Avengers to create the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, which has now run semi-successfully for how many seasons?
Five.
Five seasons at 20 episodes each? I mean, come on, man. I mean, and it was birthed...
This season, they finally hit 100 episodes. Yeah,
100 episodes? Yeah. Sorry, let me get further with Mike. 100 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
and had his,
spun
and it,
100% off of Agent Coulson, who was
a supporting character in Iron Man.
A supporting character in fucking Iron Man.
Who
and
was killed off in the Avengers. He's not even a living character in the actual cinematic universe relative to actually what's on the silver screen that's actually cinematic.
And I'll tell you what, it's like if Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, instead of Jimmy Olsen being killed by Al-Qaeda, had spun... He's killed by Al-Qaeda, but turns out he was close... He was... Yeah, they're knockoff Al-Qaeda, IKEA. He was close to the resurrection pit when he tried to resurrect Zod into Doomsday, and it brought him back to life. And then they spun off a successful major network television show with him. It's like, what the fuck, dude? You would never think that would happen.
Successful may be a strong word.
No. The thing about S.H.I.E.L.D. is it has every season done better. It's gotten better and better. Started slow. With the season we're at, it's very slow. It's still finding its legs.
Right, but let's not talk about...
Yeah, we're going to get there. Allegedly.
Next, we're going to talk about... A funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer, which I believe is on the Captain America the First Avenger DVD.
Hands up, don't move!
Don't move or I'll blow your head off.
Who else is here? Who wants that car outside?
I do. But it's really more like a lease.
Toss the keys over here.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Empty the cash register. Start filling this bag. Cigarettes.
Excuse me. I also have this gun. You'll probably be needing that.
Put it down! Put it down! Right now!
Okay, don't want any trouble.
Also, another very short feature on Phil Coulson. Who the fuck is Phil Coulson? I'm asking Max specifically since he wasn't in the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Was he in the comics?
No. He was introduced specifically before the movies, yeah.
I don't know, dude. Everybody knows who fucking Agent Coulson is. I have to explain this to people.
A little bit, yeah.
He made billions of dollars.
What does Phil Coulson mean to you as a guy who watched the first Iron Man?
Oh, absolutely nothing. He was a funny two-bit character who died because I never watched anything more than the pilot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I ignored those.
We watched two Iron Man movies and the Avengers.
I'm saying he's a...
And Thor. He was prominent in Thor.
Yeah, absolutely. He, like I said, he's a two-bit character that sort of helped build the S.H.I.E.L.D. aspect of the universe, but he wasn't Nick Fury.
So you weren't like, no, oh, Phil Coulson, when they killed him in Avengers.
I was like, damn, they killed Phil Coulson. That was a great scene. And then we kept, you know, moving on.
Yeah. What happened in the one shot?
He's going to Thor's hammer because in the Thor movie, they've discovered Thor's hammer in the desert and they've built that shield complex. Right.
And again, one of those moments in Iron Man 2 that pisses a ton of people off is Coulson's in it. And all of a sudden he's like, I have to go to Thor's hammer. So I'm no longer going to be in this motion picture. Goodbye. A lot of people did not like that level of continuity. Am I wrong?
I don't even remember that part. Was that really a knock on that movie? I thought the knock
literally
on that,
that happens in Iron Man 2 is that he's babysitting Tony Stark, then he has to leave.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that because Tony's building that machine that's going to create the new metal for his heart, right?
I thought that what pissed people off about Iron Man 2 was they didn't like Whiplash. They thought
Whiplash was weird, drunk
and pissing in his armor was super lame, and for the most part, it was sort of there were too many cokey cornball jokes.
So well, it wasn't the world
some of the good jokes. Like there's one, the one on the in the deleted scenes where the girl's using his boots and she's floating above him, and he goes, "Oh, you go for the Tony Savalas." I thought was a good joke.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, it's in the deleted.
Tony Savalas.
I saw that. I laughed. I thought it was fucking hilarious. He's looking up her skirt.
That should have been in the movie.
Yeah, he's looking up her skirt and goes, "Oh, you go for the Tony Savalas." And I'm like,
"Telly Savalas."
Telly Savalas. He just
Tony Savalas.
He's looking at you, babe.
It's not Tony. He's looking at you, babe.
I always thought it was Tony.
Telly.
Is it Telly?
Dude, you're Generation X. You should know who Telly Savalas is.
I just know he's also a lollipop all the time. That was
because he's Generation X. He's also old and has memory loss. You got to give him.
There is that.
Two sides.
We are getting up in age.
All right, millennial, whatever the fuck you are.
You're calling me Manilia.
I know, right?
Is that like a white joke?
I thought he was doing like a vanilla envelope thing, like with Luke Cage.
And I've had no alcohol. That's the sad part. Go.
He's got that contact high. Yeah, anyway, so no, I didn't give a shit about Phil Coulson, but I haven't seeked out these one shots. Are we just talking about what this one shot was about? He's on his way to Thor's hammer, stops at a convenience store, and the convenience store is held up. And he knocks the dude out who holds up the convenience store.
But he does it in such a cool way, though. Like, well, he could have shot him in the back.
He enters the Matrix for a moment there.
A little bit of bullet time.
Was a little cheesy.
A little bit of bullet time.
I like Agent Coulson as our everyman. So when he's doing, what is it, Tybo, he's trying to claim? Those Tybo videos
Asks, no, when she asks, what should I tell him? I think he's referring to her, saying that she's been using Tybo.
No, he's referring to him. Those Tybo videos really worked out for me because he mentioned up to you guys.
I like it better the way Fixit described it. I mean, I agree with you, but when he described it that way, that makes more sense. He's giving her the alibi.
Yeah, basically, that's what I thought he was doing.
She was the one who beat them. Okay.
And so that's the way I read it was, I was never here.
I can see that. Yeah, you may have a valid point.
Yeah.
Cute movie. I really like the character of Phil Coulson. More so before the start of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I did not really enjoy season one as much as I would have liked to. But it's a cute little, it's like 4 minutes of our life. I don't miss those minutes.
I enjoyed it. And I watched some of the DC shows. These were more enjoyable than me having to sit through The Flash through another season. And I like The Flash. I like most of the story arc, but man, they bogged their shit down with just like, fuck me episodes. We're just like, I finish it. I'm just like, fuck me. I just sat through that. I'm one day going to do a complete Marvel, every movie, every one shot, like just all together and just see how it plays out. And if y'all find me drooling in a fetal position, you'll know why.
And then on the Avengers home video release, item 47.
I don't think you're taking this assignment very seriously.
That's funny. I was just thinking the same thing about you. While you've been in here gathering video clips, I've been out investigating. It turns out a used 28-foot Pearson was taken off the market in Key West. Spoke to the former owner. A couple matching our description paid in cash. The boat gets out of dry dock in 24 hours, so I'd like to get a move on.
I understand, Agent Coulson. I'm sorry. Force of habit.
We all miss him.
Your orders, Agent Sitwell. Retrieve the weapons tech and neutralize the two outlaws.
I'll let you describe it.
So it basically starts out with kind of your Pulp Fiction, I love you, honey bunny. Or whatever would be cool, this is a robbery, where they're talking to each other in the getaway car, and they're kind of hyping each other up, telling them how they love each other, and they turns out that they put on ski masks
Worth pointing out, too, it is a couple, and the girl looks totally like she's a member of Pussy Riot, just saying. Because of the ski mask. She's a pink ski mask.
Anyway.
You're Pussy Riot, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's what they're going
for. Anyway, so they go and they rob a bank, and they're using one of the weapons from the, what was the name of the alien race?
Chitauri.
And they're using it and they're blowing shit up.
The boyfriend, not Skrull. Yeah, the boyfriend has managed to recover.
We are definitely not Skrulls. They were the Chitauri. Definitely not Skrulls.
Wait, we own the Skrulls now. Totally the Skrull. Yeah, the Chitauri from the Avengers, the evading aliens. The boyfriend is apparently a technological genius. He manages to recover one of their weapons, get it to work again, and they're using it to rob banks.
Jasper Sitwell ends up crashing their party.
Who is that character actor that's assigning him to the case, too?
I don't know who that dude is, but I've
seen everything, though, right?
He's that guy. guy from that thing.
I've seen him in 1,000 movies, man, and I cannot place his name, though. I know he's always a villain somehow, or a scumbag, or an asshole. Didn't he have a show on Amazon, like Boz or something like that?
Where
he
was Titus
like,
Welliver.
Yeah, I think he had a TV show on... like.
Oh, he's on Bosch. He's the star of Bosch for Amazon, or Bosch?
Which I heard was a very good show.
I would say Bosch, not Bosch.
Probably Bosch.
Bosch.
I've had a lot to drink tonight, so, you know.
Maybe you should look it up in your thesaurus.
You're kind of Boschy tonight.
You should look it up Bosch in your thesaurus.
Okay, so carry on. What happened in item 47?
Oh, anyway, so at the end of it, he's like 47 items fell to Earth after the invasion.
Well, but what happens between the beginning and the end of it?
I said Jasper Siffle gets a jump on him, and he fucking captures them, and fucking that's it. It's not that big of a deal. And as they're tied up, he says, 47 items fell to Earth during the invasion. 46 of them did not work. This one does. And she's like, she's set up, and the whole time they're trying to sweet talk, I'm like, hey, man, we didn't mean that thing back there. This was all a joke. You know, they can let us go. We don't need to go to prison. And he's like,
well, it's worth pointing out, too, that they were robbing all these banks, and they managed to zap their money and destroy the
they're fighting, it starts spinning. The gun gets knocked to the ground, and it's spinning like spinning on a bottle. They're all like, and then the next thing you see is all this burned, destroyed money floating in the ground because they shot their own money. Anyway, so the dude, she's like, oh, well, it's working because he got it to work. And he's like, yeah, I got it to work. And then the next thing you know, they're looking at the dude from Bosch, and he's all like, oh, you're back finally. And he walks in with the two, and he's converted them to S.H.I.E.L.D. agents because they were able to get the thing.
Wait, you did skip over the part where he was sent to murder them, apparently?
No, to neutralize them.
Dude, when he whips out a knife like that, I think...
Well, the knife he was whipping out was to cut the zip ties off.
I didn't think S.H.I.E.L.D. would kill people, but...
No, I think that they were referring that to make you as a way of making you think they're going left when they're actually going to go right.
Or they definitely zigged on me. Well, that should have zagged.
No. Although, given his Hydra background, you maybe have to wonder.
Yeah.
Well, see, I asked you while we were watching it, you didn't answer me. Were they supposed to be on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show? Like S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
I don't think they were ever intended to be...
For God's sake, will you answer the damn question?
That's Lizzie Kaplan. She's been in a ton of stuff. You may know her from True Blood, maybe?
Nope.
Okay. She's in True Blood?
Maybe Mean Girls?
Nope.
Masters of Sex?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm out. How much do you think she weighs?
Under or over
100 pounds?
Penny Dreadful or some shit like that?
Slightly over 100.
Slightly over 100. Not hard in the eyes at all,
is
right?
She in Penny Dreadful?
No. You're thinking of Miss Green.
What was her name?
Mitchell Green.
IMDb that shit.
Lizzie Kaplan. And it's funny, too, because her vocal stylings in the movie are very modern. So for her to have made her bones, and I think maybe gotten some Emmy nominations from playing a woman in the 1950s, 1960s. Kudos to her for the acting.
She's in Gambit, rumored.
Yes. She is supposed to play Belladonna, if I recall correctly.
Mon ami.
Although that movie has lost its director yet again, so...
She was in The Interview. I think that might have been where I've seen her.
Which one was The Interview?
The one with Seth Rogen and Franco.
Franco. Yeah! She worked with the CIA to try to get Seth Rogen and James Franco to kill...
And I'm sure I've seen her Kim Jong-un, or Ill?
Kim Jong-il, yes.
That might be...
No, Un. You're right.
That's probably where I've seen her. Oh, no, she's in Cloverfield, too. I remember.
That's right. That's right.
That's where I recognize her.
I never saw Cloverfield.
I saw her Cloverfield. That's right. That's right.
The first one's not bad.
Ali, I watched the sequel instead.
Sequel's really good. I like her a lot, guys, acting prowess.
And if you haven't seen her in True Blood yet, if you like her, you should probably watch some scenes from True Blood. Season one.
Internet, save us. Opening incognito tab. Bleep,
blurp, bleep. Okay, let me take a quick piss and then we'll continue.
And we're leaving that in the podcast. Please leave that in the podcast.
Take the mic with you.
App cross-referencing. X-tube. X-hamster.
Once you're naked, you kind of get used to it. And you're like, you know what? This is my body. You're going to have to deal with it,
yeah,
right?
Actually, on True Blood, I've never told anybody this, but I was so nervous and then I was so drunk that after I shot the scene, I was going up to the crew members. I had just met all these people the day before. And I was going up to all of them and be like, you got a boner, you did. You got one. It's horrible, it's horrible.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7.
Chasing us is a waste of resources, General. We're the good guys.
What's your assessment of Hartley's people?
They're mercenaries here for the money.
The enemy has the advantage. We need one of our own.
You risk that for a Quinjet.
For what we could do with one. Disappear. Fitz said he could engineer cloaking, but the damage to his temporal lobe was too extensive. It's not just NO84, it's the first. And all Fury knew about was the trail of bodies that follows it.
I'm being overly discreet with this operation. I know how long you have been searching for this. Dr. Whitehall,
you have no idea.
You said Hydra had a way of convincing people. You were talking about brainwashing.
Are you ready to comply, Agent 33?
Happy to comply.
SHIELD's becoming a problem. Do we know who's in charge?
I'm afraid not.
How about we make a deal? SHIELD will keep dropping off presents like this. All we ask for in return is a little breathing room.
Sorry, I'm gonna have to say no to that deal.
Since Simmons left, he's only getting worse. He's grown isolated.
Who are you talking to?
What? Me?
No one.
Like talking to yourself at school.
What do you want, Reyna?
It's what I don't want, which is the obelisk falling into the hands of people who don't understand it.
I know he's keeping something from me, and it's not just because he's the director of SHIELD.
It's been 18 days since your last episode.
And I'm tired of fighting it.
That's why I'm here.
I think something is wrong with him. Is Coulson okay?
So now we can do a very brief look at Agents of SHIELD Season 2.
Okay.
Mac, how far did you get into Season 1?
I got through the pilot and maybe not even full the whole episode, a couple commercial breaks before I was like, this show sucks. I don't want to watch any more of it.
And you've never touched it ever again?
Nope.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mr. Fix-It, what do you recall of Season 2?
The Absorbing Man.
It was in there, yes.
Yeah, that's about it. Season 2, I still was not
really?
On the SHIELD train. Yeah.
Season 2 was good.
It was still like
Honestly,
season 1.
Honestly, Season 2...
They brought in the Inhumans. Like, they didn't have mutants, so okay. They had to bring in the Inhumans.
Give an overview. What happened in Season 2?
Well, I mean, they couldn't use the X-Men. They couldn't use the word mutants because Fox owned it at the time.
Yeah, Ike Perlmutter basically had an edict that was playing out both at Marvel Comics and in the Cinematic Universe that because Marvel didn't have the rights to have mutant characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they were going to basically turn the Inhumans into quasi-mutants across all media.
Yeah, and so how are you going to create the Inhumans? So they created a story arc with the crystals?
They had the Terrigen Mist.
Terrigen Mist, there you go.
And they had, Terrigen Crystals? I don't remember what they're called, but whatever makes Inhumans, what the fuck are Inhumans?
So my understanding is the Kree had come to the Earth thousands of years ago, genetically played with the monkeys that were running around. So some of them had a dormant gene in them, which would have been a mutated gene anyway, but
well,
could only be activated.
DNA specifically, though?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, if you watch the beginning of Prometheus.
So were the Kree fucking monkeys?
The beginning
monkeys?
Of Prometheus, kind of the same concept, you know.
Were the Kree fucking monkeys? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm assuming so.
Okay.
Poon is Poon, I guess. So anyway, so the genes are in the Kree genes are in the human gene pool, and you can only activate. But it's weird because Kree don't have powers either. So I guess it's a mixture of the two, or I'm assuming
Kree have abilities that humans don't have. They're more resilient. They're stronger.
They can't do like Quake and they can't do all that other shit. I'm assuming they were just genetically testing people, mixing genomes.
Experiments.
Yeah. The mist is needed, I guess, to complete the experiment.
Mac, do you know anything about the Inhumans? Can you contribute to this at all? There are Inhuman members of the Avengers. So
one of them's got hair. Another one's got a dog. The other one shouts, but he doesn't like to. Another one karate chops. And I think another one has hooves.
Yeah, that's the royal family in a very small nutshell. So the Inhumans were the products of Kree experimentation, as I guess were the Deviants, right? Or were the Deviants a whole other thing?
I think they were a whole different... I think they were an offshoot.
Okay. We're just going to focus on the Inhumans.
Yeah, the Deviants are the... I guess they're the... So in the show...
Do they have Deviants in the show?
No. Well, in the humans, you saw that one. I didn't know, so you don't have to tell me.
No, I don't remember any Deviants being in the Inhumans.
Comic, that was always the cool concept was after the mist was released, you either became something beautiful and acceptable, or you became like a what? What were they?
Less than beautiful
Mongolians
and acceptable.
Lockheed's the dragon, Lockjaw's the dog.
Fox has those rights too.
Give me a fucking break.
But see, the argument was he a sentient being or was it a dog? And they've gone back and forth on that over the years. My understanding of the Inhumans, as a guy who never gave a two shits about the Inhumans, show of hands, how many people here give a shit about the Inhumans?
Let the record reflect that nobody is raising their hand.
Yeah. The Inhumans have Kree DNA, and when they're exposed to crystals that turn into a mist, they gain powers not dissimilar from mutants.
Yeah.
Okay. Ike Perlmutter, partial owner of Marvel and major Disney shareholder at this point, wanted to make Inhumans the mutants of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so they fucking forced that shit down our throats via Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And intended to have that be a major motion picture, never actually happened. Inhumans are all over Season 2. Also, we have the aftermath of Winter Soldier, where the remaining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are being hunted as as though they were agents of Hydra because nobody knows whether or not they are the good guys or the bad guys. Major Glenn Talbot is spearheading that effort. It turns out there's actually a whole other faction of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was unfamiliar to Coulson and Company, run by General Adama from Battleship Galactica. Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. is infiltrated by Adama's S.H.I.E.L.D. Edward James Olmos, right?
Yeah.
Lean on Me. By specifically...
No. Huh? Not Lean on Me.
What? No, no. Stand by deliver. Me. Yes. Stand and deliver. Thank you.
Stand and deliver. You say fucking Lean on Me?
They came out like the same time. They're basically the same movie.
They're not basically the same fucking movie. Wow. Waste of goddamn math.
Put all the brown people in one box. Okay, go ahead.
Talk about shit.
Lean on Me, Stand by Me, La Bamba. It's all the same thing.
Richie! Okay.
So much I want to tell you about your father.
Bring me my daughter.
If you're going to move up in Hydra, you need to make friends.
I'm scared for her. She's a terrible liar.
Yes, my loyalties are with Hydra.
What is it again?
Not sure. Coulson put me on it a month ago, searching for a match. I've got nothing.
This writing was on the obelisk and now a piece of art. Getting that painting could mean answers.
Lorena, you recently took something from me. Bring me the obelisk. You have 48 hours. Clock starts... now.
So Garrett says your family's like the cable version of the Kennedys.
My older brother, Christian, he didn't beat up my younger brother. He was crueler than that. He made me do it.
Throw him the rope, and I'll throw you in there, too.
Welcome home, Agent Simmons.
Hi, Fitz.
Is that really you?
Who else would it be?
Anyone mind telling me what the bloody hell she's doing here?
Bobby's one of our best agents.
Hunter ever tell you stories about his she-devil ex-wife?
All the time. Damn.
I've got a senator with very deep pockets that wants Coulson.
You were dead for days.
GH325. Agent Coulson was injected with it and literally minutes later, his wound showed signs of cellular regeneration.
I'd like to turn the machine on again.
It induces theta brainwave frequencies to help uncover secrets buried in the subconscious.
Please, let me die.
When'd you start doing this?
First night I saw Garrett's writings.
What do you think caused it?
The GH formula.
This is what you've been doing up here.
It's what I did yesterday. No matter how much I carve, it still means nothing to me. I don't even have a theory.
I do. It's a map. You're being transferred. Your brother wants you in his custody.
Why isn't there a nationwide manhunt? He escaped from federal custody.
Just wanted to make sure you got my present.
Promised him a face-to-face with Coulson.
I hear you've been looking for this.
The obelisk.
We share a common enemy. A guy named Phil Coulson.
I know. In the past few months, it may have seemed like I was leading you on some fool's errand, chasing after strange carvings and artifacts. But the pieces are coming together. The puzzle's taking shape. The bad news? Hydra's trying to solve the same puzzle. The good news? We now have a piece they don't have. It's a city. Everything we've been doing, it all leads here. Suit up.
What is happening?
There's a story of a star that fell from the heavens, of blue angels who came bearing a gift for all mankind, meant to save the world.
The ancients called them the Kree.
If a Kree came to your world, I would assume he's up to no good. And what did the Kree want? Change.
You did well. Pick it up.
And only someone who can carry the diviner is allowed to enter the city.
Or more importantly, the temple inside.
Mr. Ward here is something of an expert on S.H.I.E.L.D. And you, an expert on the diviner. Together, I think there's much we can achieve.
You know you've lied to
me. This happens every time. We get closer, you get nervous.
Everything we've been doing leads here. Our job, find it before anyone else.
If there's evidence of this city on Earth, the computer will find it.
To activate the obelisk, Hydra has to take it to a specific place.
A temple inside the city.
Reyna claims that she can touch the obelisk without being harmed, that it would lead them to the temple. Only the worthy are allowed inside to witness its true power.
And what happens to the people who aren't worthy?
There's Hydra Quinjets outside the windows on both sides.
Let's go.
Destiny calls.
You too.
Shoot them down.
Like old times, huh?
Not exactly.
General Dama sends Adrienne Palicki, who's been in like fucking everything. As long as it was canceled, she was in it. She was the Wonder Woman from the NBC failed pilot. She was an Atlantean from the failed Aquaman pilot. She was Lady Flint from the G.I. Joe movie that was a sequel that did not manage to resurrect the G.I. Joe franchise of motion pictures. She's currently on the Orwell. Is it Orwell? No, the Orville. Star Trek show that Seth MacFarlane's been doing. She's working for General Adama, and so is the big black dude that is not Trip, Mac.
Okay.
And they are basically set up to infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D. via, it was like a triple agent kind of thingy, because initially Simmons, and I can't remember, she's the biological scientist and Fitz is the technological scientist, correct?
I'm going to say yes.
He is a technos. Okay, so Simmons has infiltrated Hydra, and so has Adrian Palicki's character, who is Bobby Morse, better known as Mockingbird.
Okay.
Simmons manages to make her way up through the ranks of Hydra, but she's eventually found out, and Bobby Morse, who has already been embedded in Hydra for a while, manages to get her out safely. But what we don't know is that Bobby Morse is actually working for General Adama, so she's actually infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. by way of saving Simmons. Fitz, who received brain damage thanks to Agent Ward in the previous season
for lack of oxygen,
is a technological genius who cannot function anymore because of the damage that's been done to his brain, and he's struggling mightily through that
story arc.
And he's been befriended initially by Trip. Trip is the son of Gabriel the Hornblower from Nick Fury's Howling Commandos, who were featured in Captain America, The First Avenger.
Okay.
I like Trip a lot. Let's see.
Dude, you remember more than this than I did. That's amazing.
I'm trying to remember the other agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we were familiar with were just scattered about. I know that Skye was still hunting for Grant Ward because of how badly he'd fucked them over, but I don't remember a lot about what was going on around that stuff. The main thing was that Skye wanted to find out who her parents were, which tied into Agent Carter, again from Captain America. But it's worth noting that as much as we slagged on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1, it really tied into a lot of fucking movies. True. Because you had the Extremis from Iron Man 3, you had Thor the Dark World tying directly into the movie and appearances by Sif, and then at the end of the season, you had the Winter Soldier tying very manly into the show. Whereas Season 2 was adrift to some degree. I don't remember it having a lot of close associations with anything. Like, the Winter Soldier basically broke S.H.I.E.L.D. by revealing the connections to Hydra, and then really not a lot of strong connections to any of the Marvel stuff aside from the very finale of the season.
Because, I mean, at the end of Season 1, didn't Nick Fury show up?
It does tie into Avengers 2. Yeah, but most of the season was on its own.
Yeah, no, I give you, Season 2 feels like that floating island on its own.
Clearly their main goal was to push the Inhumans on us as much as possible.
Yeah, get us ready for the Inhuman show.
They make a big deal about how there are all these various teams that were previously associated with S.H.I.E.L.D. or with Hydra. They are...
they did leave.
Covert action teams, we'll call them. Wild covert action teams. Skye is searching for her parents, which was a leftover from Season 1. I still, at this point, fucking hate Skye to pieces. Can't stand that character. Total fake geek girl bullshit. Way too hot to be living in a van, doing hack work and that kind of bullshit. We have ties to Agent Carter, who's going to get a show sometime partway through the season, by Tiger into a super Nazi whose name escapes me. Do you remember the dude's name?
No. I just remember that they started bringing in some of the Marvel villains. Absorbing Man, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, well, that tied into the search for Terrigen Mist, if I recall correctly, because they had Lucy Lawless as like one of those covert action team members. I think Hunter might have been one of those as well, who ends up becoming a major figure in Season 2. Fuck, was that Nazi dude's name?
Hitler.
Not Hitler.
Mangala.
Daniel Whitehall. This Silver Fox Anderson Cooper motherfucker who is like the Joseph Mengele of Hydra.
Shout out Anderson Cooper, my God.
But he's like the Joseph Mengele of Hydra, this dude who's like a total like crazy evil geneticist who's studying people.
Is that the one that pops up in Ultron?
Ways. Huh?
Was that the guy that popped up in Ultron?
I think you're thinking of Strucker. Strucker.
Yeah, you're right.
So they managed to set it up to where this Whitehall dude is not only active in the 1940s, and he's captured by Agent Carter and the Howling Commandos after Captain America's been indebted, apparently. And this dude apparently is like immortal, or at least he can reverse age because he he aged, and then he got injected with some shit, and he became a young dude again. And so he basically becomes a major player in Hydra again.
Okay.
At the same time, you've got Powers Boother still a major player in Hydra.
Yeah.
And so they're basically like warring against one another because Whitehall is like the main guy, the guy who essentially replaces Robert Redford in Hydra. But Powers Booth is totally trying to take some control over that. And of course, Talbot is continuing to hunt them all. Talbot played by
Adrian
Pazdar, Prophet, who's doing, I think, just an awesome Glenn Talbot. Love his Glenn Talbot. And let's see. Oh, yeah. And then you had like Agent 33, right? Is that the chick that looked like Melinda May? She basically was running around with a mask to make herself look like Melinda May, the Asian ass-kicking.
You remember more than I remember.
Yeah, the cavalry.
You remember more than I remember.
Ming-Na Wen's character, the Asian chick, the pilot, who's like a badass martial artist.
No, I remember her, but I don't remember Agent 33.
Right.
Is she the one that's like, I don't know who I really am or something?
Yeah, because like the mask gets damaged, so she has a fucking mask.
I vaguely remember
her. She gets seduced by Grant Ward, and he's manipulated her
I vaguely remember her.
And of course, you also got Raina. Do you remember Raina, the girl in the flower dress?
Yes.
Tulip from Preacher.
Yeah.
So she's the chick who was totally fascinated by the Inhumans and wanted to get Inhuman powers. And so I think the big place where this converges is it turns out that Agent Coulson, who has all that stuff from the Kree inside his brain ever since he was revived in part by Kree biology and technology, he has mapped out a secret city, kind of like Adalon, within the Earth, where the Terrigen crystals are.
Huh? I thought it was Atlantis.
Was it Atlantis?
I thought it was. Because they never really say that. Well, I don't know. I never watched Inhumans. I watched one episode of it, so I don't know if they ever say.
Yeah, we're not even dealing with that part.
But I don't know if they ever mentioned that that's where they were from. I just assumed it was Atlantis. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Tahiti, the acronym project that brought Coulson back to life, was tied into Kree technology.
Okay.
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra all converge on this underground Kree city. They get a hold of Terrigen crystals, and through exposure, our boy Trip, the Howling Commando grandson, is turned to stone and dies, which sucks.
Hydra grows stronger every day, while S.H.I.E.L.D. clings desperately to a world it no longer understands.
Why not lead?
My time will come.
Tell me what happened to my mom.
Your mother was special because she had a gift. Whitehall cut her to pieces. I'm going to kill the man who destroyed my life.
You killed him! He was mine!
We're humans, Guy. We just have the potential to be more.
There's someone new. Tell the others I'm on it.
Drew! We finally get to find out what we become.
After you change, no one else will understand. They'll be afraid. Change is terrifying.
You and Mac have that secret to keep under wraps.
This again? Oh, now Mac's in on it.
I'm just wondering if it means you're bringing Hunter in on the other thing.
No.
I shouldn't have to ask any of you to save one of our own.
You never ask!
That's enough!
I don't mind him. He's just coming down from the worst alien acid trip of all time.
You survived the destruction because you caused it. And I'm pretty sure the DNA results we're running right now are going to confirm it. There's something wrong with you.
Your heart rate was recorded at almost 300 BPM.
That's very fast.
No. That's inhuman. Her DNA is an exact match to what it was before, she's clear.
What did you just do?
Switch your blood results with your own samples.
The new samples are different.
Drastically. For now, we should just keep it between us.
There's something very wrong with me.
I'll be waiting for you. After you change, no one else will understand.
Your thankless daughter was there.
She emerged from the chrysalis.
She's gonna be so terribly afraid. You'll put her on the index. Tag her like a shark.
What's doing this?
I am. I can't control it when I get upset. You will control your emotions, just like we practice. Everyone is at risk. I need to control this or stop it. Otherwise, I don't know what happens to me.
You weren't stopping your powers, Sky. You were directing them inward.
I'm recommending Sky leave S.H.I.E.L.D. altogether.
What is this place?
It's a safe house for people with powers. Simmons has been working around the clock on these.
So these take my powers away. Are there side effects?
A few.
Hello, Sky. I'm Gordon. I'll take you to a place where you can be with people like us. You can learn about your gift.
You and Bobby, what's up? No, I know you're keeping something from me. I know Coulson doesn't know about it, but I bet he'd like to.
Bobby and I work for an organization that came out of the wreckage from what Fury left.
Who the hell are you working for?
The real S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's nowhere to go!
It appears Hunter escaped using one of the ship's submersible pods.
We founded the real S.H.I.E.L.D. on the belief that leadership should operate with transparency.
If Coulson's collecting powered people, we need to know him before they come knocking on our door.
What Coulson's doing here, this isn't S.H.I.E.L.D. Not the real S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway.
This is not about Coulson. It's not about me. It's about S.H.I.E.L.D. We cannot afford to be enemies to each other when there are new threats out there. Waiting for a moment, we're at our weakest. I know Coulson. His behavior's grown increasingly more troubling.
Coulson and his secrets? That's the threat. And I think it's time that we remove that threat. I want to go back in.
Skye is also exposed to Terrigen crystals, and she becomes an inhuman, and it turns out she has Quake powers, and we find out that she's actually Daisy Johnson, an established character from Secret Wars, the Brian Michael Bendis version, and then later the Secret Warriors, which was Nick Fury's superpowered team that ran around for a little while there.
Yeah, by
Bendis again, or Hickman?
No, it was Hickman, yeah. Okay. That was, we actually, me and Fryhole read that, we actually liked that series. It was actually pretty decent.
Skye eventually finds out that she's related to Dr. Hyde from Marvel Comics, a fairly minor villain. Are you familiar with Dr. Hyde, Mac?
But in the probably.
I mean, he fought Captain America a few times.
He always wore a suit.
Am I thinking the owl when I'm thinking this? Or did they dress
him? He wore a jacket kind of like the owl, but he was a bigger dude.
Yeah, because the owl actually had claws, where Hyde was just like
long-haired, muscular dude. Yeah. He fought Spider-Man in a... He like teamed up with, was it Cobra? The original Cobra like villain, where he's like slinky and he like a boa constrictor kind of dude?
I don't remember.
Anyway, they used to fight... Spider-Man.
That's my Cobra Commander.
That's the only G.I. Joe. That and Snake Eyes. I do a great Snake Eyes impression.
Go.
And that's my Snake Eyes.
Great job. Yeah, total. Roger Stern and John Romita Jr., when they had their run on Spider-Man, Hyde was one of the characters that appeared in a two-part that was mentioned as one of the better Spider-Man stories from that period. So it turns out that Daisy Johnson is the daughter of Mr. Hyde, played by Kyle MacLachlan, Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks. What did you think of Mr. Hyde on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So, in the comics, does he do drugs to get his powers?
What?
Yeah, because this guy was doing poppers, man. He was popping.
He's fucking Nuke?
Almost, yeah.
I think that actually goes back to Robert Louis Stevenson. I think it goes back to the original Dr. Jekyll, the drug element of it.
Because now that you're mentioning it, I never thought of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as a fucking drug addict who's drugging up to get his angry powers.
Yeah, totally.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's what they were doing there.
I'm a fucking idiot.
But it just depends
you
on
you just
who's...
recorded me becoming an idiot, like realizing that I'm a dumbass idiot.
We've known for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But the cool thing is, though, everyone has a different interpretation. My interpretation's always been, my favorite's always been Alan Moore. Where Dr. Jekyll is gay and he wants to try to remove the gay gene from himself by experimenting on himself, which turns him into Hyde, which just amplifies all his id personalities. And I thought that was just a kind of cool take because no one ever explains. I've never read the original book, but do they ever explain why? Well, never mind. This is totally dead.
Wait.
Yeah. I've always liked the concept of Dr. Jekyll.
So wait, is he still a drug addict?
Of all the shit we deep dive on and fucking branch out on this podcast, you were not going to just glaze over that Alan Moore did a series where Dr. Jekyll...
Yeah, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I read the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I don't remember that detail.
I remember reading that because I'm thinking that's like... Because I remember thinking, why would someone experiment on themselves? And then it was like, well, because he was trying to remove that urge.
Holy shit, I don't remember that. I got to go back and reread it. I still have all my League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I need to go back and reread them.
Yeah, it's a good trade. Absolute good trade. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Okay.
But I think... I don't remember him being a drug addict in the comics.
Don't think in the comics that was a he was always major factor. Muscle. He seemed to always be Hyde in the comics.
Yeah. Like, I don't ever remember seeing him converting.
It was like a one-off transformation, and he was just always Hyde. I don't remember ever seeing him not be Hyde.
I just always remember him being like the muscle.
Big dude in theatrical gear with long hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you think of MacLachlan, though, as representing the TV show?
I kind of liked it. He's a great actor.
I like Kyle MacLachlan. I think it was fun seeing him play a crazy person. The effects work related to the Mr. Hyde transformation was wretched.
Yeah.
He was dumb as shit, because they basically gave him this gigantic brow and big hands, and then said, you have super strength, and then that was like the sum total of it.
Pretty
it was the cheapest Roger Corman bullshit.
Oh no, it's true. It was, and then he would just do a lot of
Kyle MacLachlan brought the camp hardcore into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2.
I you know what? You're right. It's kind of hard to take that serious.
No, can't. Totally can't.
Yeah.
You also have Patton Oswalt still running around as one of the, we're still unsure if he was an LMD.
Was he a clone?
Or a triplet? Yeah. Or what the fuck he was, but he's still running around.
Wait,
that was kind of fun.
I think you misspoke. You said Patton Oswalt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I think you did it again. You misspoke. I think You said Patton Oswalt, the comedian?
Yeah. Yes.
They have S.H.I.E.L.D. bases.
I'm sorry. Hold on one second. I think you just said that Patton Oswalt was running around as an LMD in Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. on a major network television.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. We don't know if he's a clone. They never explained.
They did explain, actually. In one of the later seasons, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So who did you actually mean was running around?
Patton Oswalt.
I'm checking back out of the podcast. You made
Ratatouille. So also Lucy Lawless, like I said, was a wildcat.
Yep.
She gets killed by, Absorbing Man, or was it more of a collateral damage kind of thing?
It was collateral damage.
Okay. So she dies.
Because remember, they give him a second chance later, so.
Who?
Absorbing Man? Yeah.
What do they do with the Absorbing Man?
Talbot uses him as muscle.
Huh?
They do a meeting, and I believe Talbot uses him as muscle. Like, they tell him, you know, if you work for us.
Oh, yeah. He used him as a bodyguard for a while there. Yeah. That didn't last long.
Because he had powers.
Yeah.
Now, I thought as for an Absorbing Man character, he looked great. He looked exactly kind of what I thought Absorbing Man would look
not
like.
Not bad, but it's kind of a drag that Thor doesn't exactly have a great rogues gallery. And so to see him burned off on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of a drag.
Well, they can always bring him back, but go ahead.
They're never going to bring him back. Are you
never know.
Never going to happen. Way too optimistic, my friend. The television shows do not exist in Marvel Studios. Totally do not exist.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Trip is dead, so he's basically been replaced by Mac. And it was one of those like Walking Dead things where as soon as one black guy leaves, the show, another black guy like takes over his place. Remember the early seasons of Walking Dead when they were doing that shit all the time? And I never fucking liked Matt. Seasons
really?
And seasons, and I cannot stand that motherfucker.
He's all right. I mean,
big dude. He comes into the show as a double agent. He's the guy who's really hardcore against Coulson and company. He never really jibes with all the weird extraterrestrial bizarro shit that they have to deal with. So he's always like the bitch who's like, oh, I can't stand dealing with this stuff. He's so fucking one note. I can't stand that character.
I mean, is he my favorite by far? No. I mean, he does tend to drag the show a little bit when it comes to his story arcs. But I mean, he's fine. He's the muscle.
So we find out that Whitehall, the Nazi dude, had gotten a hold of Skye's mom and chopped her to tiny little pieces.
What?
And then Mr. Hyde, before he becomes Mr. Hyde, back when he's just Jekyll or whatever the fuck, his regular human name, finds the pieces, like gathers them together and like sews her the fuck back up again, like fucking Frankenstein.
What?
And because, yeah, no shit, right? Because she's an inhuman, she comes back to life. Because her mutant power, her inhuman power is healing factor. So she comes back and she's just got like a bunch of scars, but she managed to come back from being chopped to pieces and vivisected by Nazi dude. She's played by the chick from Joss Whedon's The Dollhouse, because it's worth noting that the showrunners on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are Joss Whedon's brother and Joss Whedon's brother's wife. They cast well. So it turns out that Skye's mom is not just an inhuman, but she's sort of an evil inhuman.
Yes.
She is basically trying to gear the Inhumans toward what was it, like
war?
A war or yeah. Like, well, that, and I think she was trying to expose everybody on Earth.
Felt like she was building an army.
Okay.
Because she had everybody.
Well, they did the big thing where she's got like Shangri-La, whatever the fuck they were calling the place. This like inhuman paradise where you could just go and chill out and enjoy your powers and shit. But it turns out she's got this evil plan where she's going to force everybody to become inhumans or die. And then there's the Lincoln dude, who is the white dude who ends up being hot for Skye and kind of helps draw her into her mother's web.
He kind of plays the, oh, you're getting us all wrong. Because she's already, when Skye shows up, she's already having kind of a second, she's very suspicious of everything around her.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's the one that's commented out, no, you don't understand, this is a good thing for us. And so I guess he lulls her into a sense of everything's all right. That's his job, without him actually realizing it.
And he also gets them panties wet.
I guess so.
He also gets them panties wet. Good lord.
There's only one man who's connected to both sides of this equation. And we're a good team.
I'm still happy I shot you.
Yeah, me too.
Should I aim for the face?
Hold on!
Just like old times, huh?
Not exactly.
I should get you by for a few days. Without you, there is no shield. They know about Skye. Find her.
Gordon, help.
My name is Jia Ying. I have chosen to be your guide.
Forgot I was working with the cavalry.
Don't ever call me that.
I've heard the stories. What went down in Bahrain?
She went in, crossed off the enemy force. Didn't say how.
Did you lose anyone in there?
Herself. Baron von Strucker thought that Sunil Bakshi was well-groomed to serve. So why is he not present?
Compliance will be rewarded.
Your father was good once.
He's a monster.
Just one dinner. Ethan, I hear you're headed away.
Taking some time to backpack.
I need you to get me into Fury's toolbox.
It's way beyond anything I've ever encountered. Without Coulson, I'm afraid it's just a piece of junk. Are we having any issues following Agent Fitz?
You tailed him?
Hunter!
Fitz?
Maybe you can show me how to shake a tail. Like, no?
We need to find Skye, Hydra's new heads, Strucker and List. They're researching power people and making a deal with Ward.
We are working with Director Coulson. You're going to do whatever he says.
I'm more than happy to comply.
I'll have him taken away from here.
Just let me go with him. I'll talk to him. I'll soften the blow.
Let's see what's happening. You are going to dump me here like yesterday's trash.
Skye!
Coulson.
I need to get you out of here.
No, Naya!
Don't go!
Damn it, I had her.
That lock's down. Hydra's storming the building.
Your call, boss.
Take me to your leader.
Why should I trust you?
Because we all have our secrets. You have one sitting in the cargo hold of your ship.
Some people just don't deserve forgiveness.
Kara?
She does.
Gordon's the only one who knows where we are. It keeps his secret and safe from the outside world.
Rainey's gift may allow her to see things before they happen.
Any decisions based on your gift will be made by me.
Who decided you should have final say in all the decisions around here?
Coulson has been moving alarming amounts of resources all over the globe. Linking all these activities is a code name, Theta Protocol.
Wanna tell me what Theta Protocol is?
No.
If you're the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't want any part in it. I'm leaving.
Agent 33, she was wearing a nano mask disguised as May, but May electrocuted her right in the face.
Never turn your back on the enemy. Whitehall's dead.
So you're free.
I don't know what to do.
I can get us out of here, and we'll figure it all out.
Bobby, Coulson wants us to scout ahead. You sure about those coordinates?
Kara.
I had another vision. S.H.I.E.L.D., they're coming.
We'd like to return someone of interest to you.
We found these vials on him, ma'am.
What are these?
Beats me. I know that you were separated from your daughter. I thought that might belong to her.
You're nothing like me, like us.
Get everyone killed.
This is war.
Stuff happens. You know, there's big chunks of the season I don't remember anymore because it's been a few years now. What I do remember is that Mockingbird, Bobby Morse, is fucking awesome. And while I'm trying to deal with all this shitty Inhuman stuff, watching Mockingbird pull out her cool batons and beat the shit out of people and have banter with her ex-husband, Lance Blood, a.k.a. Hunter, was totally 100% the highlight of the show. And I also really enjoyed Edward James Olmos' S.H.I.E.L.D. going up against Phil Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. and basically fighting amongst themselves while Glenn Talbot was also trying to destroy both of them. I thought that was like the highlight of the season, and then all of a sudden human shit was just fucking dragging everything down.
You were remembering way more than this than I do, dude. That's amazing.
The other thing is that Reyna, the girl in the flower dress, was also exposed to Terrigen Mist. She gained the mutant power of being a porcupine with prophetic powers.
To see the future.
Unfortunately, the actress who plays Reyna is extremely hot, and they put a ton of latex on top of her, and we never get to see her be hot again. And then she ends up getting killed by Skye's mom.
Yes.
But by being killed by Skye's mom, it lets Skye know that she is not on board with her mom's
Her mom was a villain from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So her natural instinct that not to trust her was right on the money.
General Adama gets killed in like some attack or some shit.
No. Skye's mom tries to play it up like she was being attacked by him. So she kills him with the mist.
She exposes him to the Terrigen crystals.
And shoots herself like she was just defending herself.
Stone, yeah. There's only one S.H.I.E.L.D. now, and that S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to fight to stop Skye's mom from exposing everybody to Terrigen Mist. Also, at some point, Mr. Hyde gets on board the bus, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s airplane, and is wrecking havoc, and Fitzsimmons have to stop him, right?
I don't remember that part.
It was ridiculous, though. He looked like a total goon. Oh, at some point, Baron Strucker got wiped. Oh, yeah. Remember Baron Strucker's kid?
Yeah.
Was in there for a while there, and they were trying using to flip him, and they ended up, they kill him off.
Yeah, they went really weird with that story arc. I thought they were going to flip.
Well, and it's even weirder when you factor in that the Strucker kids are now the stars of The Gifted on Fox.
Oh, I did not know that.
You didn't realize those? Are you watching The Gifted?
No, not yet. Okay.
And there's also some Kree shit, too, where they're like fighting Kree warriors at some point.
Well, fought two of them, I believe. Yeah. Like two that came to Earth.
And did Sif actually help them with the Kree at some point, or am I completely misremembering?
You got me on that one, bro.
By misremembering, I think I'm misreading what's on the wiki page, because I don't remember that shit either. But I do remember them fighting the Kree warriors. Okay, so let's see. Where does the season end? The season ends with Fitz still struggling with his brain damage, right?
Yeah.
Is he corrected by the end of the season, or is he still struggling with it?
I think he's still struggling with it.
And he's also seeing visions of
Jenna around him.
Yeah, but she's not not really there.
No.
And he's struggling with the fact that they had affections for each other that were unrequited, and they don't seem to be doing anything, because the more Simmons is around Fitz, the more problems he has.
Yes.
Fitz, who had been hanging out with Trip, just switches out Black Dudes and starts hanging out with Mac. Melinda May, does she do anything in season two? Was any of that shit with her husband in season two, or was that season three?
I think so, because he ends up turning into a...
Well, I think that was season three, though.
Isn't it?
But they do spend a bunch of time with Blair Underwood of LA Law fame being her husband, yeah, and being a psychologist working with S.H.I.E.L.D., which may develop into something this season or next season. We'll worry about that next season. Let's see.
I thought he was
Phil
mad.
Coulson, he ends up grabbing a hold of a Terrigen crystal at one point, and he has his hand chopped off with a fire axe by Mac.
Yes.
And so he's got the one hand
and that's
now.
When the Absorbing Man, that's when the Absorbing Man's trying to steal the crystal. They're sending him to steal the crystals. Yeah.
There's like a whole thing with Glenn Talbot that I don't remember, where like he's trying to work with the Absorbing Man and he's trying to be protected, and he's trying to work with S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's not trying to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Weird thing going on there.
On which character?
Grant Ward. So Grant Ward comes back, and he's a total fucking psycho. He shoots Mockingbird several times. There ends up being a big thing where the Hunter is trying to kill Grant Ward because he's pissed off about the harm that was done to Bobby. Melinda May wants to kill Grant Ward because they were fucking
lovers,
around,
yeah,
and she hates his ass. Sky's wanting to kill his ass because of how he fucked her around, and she ends up shooting him toward the end of the season, if I remember correctly. You got the Agent 33, who ends up, I think this season, gets killed. And so Grant Ward is like extra pissed off at the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of his side piece getting killed off, even though he still got the hots for Sky.
Don't they kind of dive a little bit into his past as well?
Yeah, he's still a total fucking psycho. Yeah. Most of that, I think, was in season one, but I think they kind of dabble in it.
Like this show, his upbringing, where he's picked up by Hydra at a very young age.
Yeah,
and
he's tormented, and he ends up killing his whole family over it because he's still pissed off about poor little rich boy, that kind of bullshit.
I thought he killed his brother or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember anything really significant happening with Simmons this season. She was cool in the early parts where she was infiltrating Hydra, and I don't remember a lot going on with her.
So, like, what is this, season three, where they go to the other planet then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the weird. The only bad drawback to the show is you can really blend all the seasons together.
It's to some degree, yeah. And then the big finale is that Sky finds out that her birth name was actually Daisy. So she takes on the name of Daisy Johnson. Her dad, Mr. Hyde, kills her mom since she was evil bitch anyway. And the Terrigen crystals that they were going to use to infect humanity end up falling into the ocean. They infect the fish. The fish lay eggs.
The fish are captured. Certain fish absorb the crystals. Those fish are then caught, canned, and a lot of them are turned into like fish oil pills.
Right.
And so health, you know.
A lot of health nuts get exposed to Terrigen residue that causes them to spontaneously become inhumans, which is going to plague season three.
Yeah.
So what do we think of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two?
It's getting better. I mean, it was starting to find its footing.
I think the characters definitely developed better. I hated Sky way less in season two. I liked most of the characters somewhat better in season two than I did in season one. Phil Coulson still felt like he was kind of lost amidst all the other characters to me, I thought.
I won't lie. I really didn't get on board till season three. Mm-hmm. Season three is when I started like, okay, I like where they're going. They're doing something different. They're starting to explore the history of Hydra, like what it's deep.
No, they did that a lot in season two, because you had Agent Carter, you had Whitehall. I loved all the stuff related to World War II.
Season three, they really showed you the origins of Hydra, like where Hydra came from, like the concept of it. Because even I used to wonder, like, when you would see all these groups, like, I understood AIM. AIM are a bunch of science geeks that, you know.
Which they still haven't done much with in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What do you mean?
They were alluded to in Iron Man 3, and then, like, nothing.
Who?
AIM.
I've seen them pop up in other books.
No, in the Cinematic Universe, though.
Oh, the Cinematic. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's just
true,
like
I'm
they
sorry,
dropped
yeah.
a reference. I love this, too. They dropped a reference to Roxxon in the Agent Coulson one-shot movie, whatever happened on, you know, a strange, funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer. Yeah. And then Roxxon, I don't remember really getting much of a references since then. I thought that was a shame.
Who?
Roxxon, the evil oil company that's got its hands in a bunch of stuff in the Marvel Universe.
I didn't.
You didn't catch that reference?
No, I didn't catch that reference.
That's too bad.
Oh. But anyway, so I guess I like that they're, because, I mean, to me, Marvel has always had these great evil organizations, from Hydra, AIM. Don't they have like some kind of ghost biker gang? I mean, I'm trying to think of the books that I've read that they have, you know, the hand. You always have these, you know, what would you call them? Cults. not like Illuminati. What do we call
cartels?
That?
Cartels? Like organizations?
I mean, like, you know, shadowy organizations that are pulling strings behind everyone and you don't realize it. So that's kind of cool where you realize it's just not S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, because when you think about S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, well, what are they defending this against? And then you realize, well, there's Hydra, there's AIM. Like, there's all these organizations on the opposite side. So they're all kind of playing this game of chess. And then it kind of, I mean, to me, it lends like, oh, that's kind of a cool concept. Like, you have these big organizations that are, you know, battling for power and manipulating. And I thought that's one to me was kind of like, okay, I get what they're doing. And it's kind of cool that they're connecting the show to the movies and the you know, the
movie. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that there was a subplot running throughout the latter episodes of season two that set up how Agent Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. helped to acquire for Nick Fury a helicarrier, which is very valuable in Avengers Age of Ultron. Basically, the helicarrier, one surviving helicarrier that Nick Fury uses to help offload the citizens of Sokovia from the giant rock that Ultron is about to turn into a missile against the Earth, that was procured in part by Agent Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what they were building up towards. Oh. And what's her face? Kobe Smulders, Maria Hill, she is very briefly on the show again as well.
That's right. I remember that part, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I totally missed that. Dude, that's pretty cool. Way to go, Marvel.
So what did you like the best about this season?
Absorbing Man. Yeah. Mr. Hyde. I like when they bring in some kind of cool, obscure characters that I never thought I would see the Absorbing Man on TV.
Yeah.
That's like a Hulk villain. And not even a good Hulk villain. That's just like, he has great potential, but no one ever knows what to really do with him. I mean, you have a creature who can absorb whatever he touches. So I did like what Alex Ross did with him, where he absorbs like what a cosmic character, and he absorbs his, that to me is like, that's what he could do. And so I never pictured him in, you know, in a TV show or movie. I never pictured Mr. Hyde. Like, I thought that was kind of cool to bring in Hyde, you know.
Not that that's realization character of the character, though.
Yeah, but just the fact that they're giving him airtime. Like, yeah, they're starting to realize that they have this big roster of characters they can use. They don't just have to use name brands, like characters you see on the magazine. You can actually start using these, like, I would love to see some really, like, the UFOs used or something like that. Like, these really obscure characters that I remember thinking, man, they're damn cool looking. And just throw them out there and say, hey, look, like, this universe is way bigger than you thought it was. My take.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. always had to wait for the cinematic end, to unlock certain aspects of the universe. And I like that once Hydra was available to them, they really explored that in detail, but they still had a lot of stuff they weren't able to access.
Because they kind of stopped playing with Marvel, Hydra in the cinematic world, didn't they?
Yeah, after Winter Soldier, they just didn't really talk about Hydra much anymore.
Yeah, sure, yeah, after Winter Soldier, that was kind of that was their load, and they moved on.
Age of Ultron was where they kind of wrapped up the loose ends related to Hydra, related to the Marvel Studios movies. So,
okay.
My favorite thing about season two easily was Mockingbird. I thought Adrian Palicki just brought an enormous amount of energy to the show.
I wanted to see her in the costume, though.
It would have been nice, but I thought she had just a great deal of personality. I really love the way she bounced off of Hunter.
She looked like Mockingbird, I thought.
She looked like Mockingbird. She had the physique for it. She had the attitude for it. It really made me respect Mockingbird as a character more because of her rendition of the character, and it helped carry over a lot of shit that I wasn't into with season two related to the Inhumans. I never was on board with the Inhumans.
That to me, anytime the Inhumans started coming up, it would draw me out. Didn't care. I just did not care.
Yeah.
So that's why when season three started with Hydra, Origins of Hydra, really into that. Mm-hmm. Season four, I was okay with it, you know.
Well, and I like that they used Grant Ward fairly sparingly in season two, but he was very effective. Yeah. It was great to have that ongoing threat there.
And the team hates him so much, which kind of was cool.
Yeah.
I really like that. Like, you really had a baddie, and there was no sympathy for him. Because, I mean, you got to remember, he was like the heartthrob the first two seasons. Like,
well, the first season, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I couldn't stand him. He was one of the reasons why
we go to a con and they were all there, and he was like being swarmed by women.
He was at Comic Con Tuesday here in Houston. Yeah,
and I remember he was being swarmed by women. There was like, his line was full of shit.
I had a mild urge to want to just walk up to him and say, "You son of a bitch!" But I'm not one of those crazy people that can't separate reality from fiction. But I do think that he was great bit casting, because as much as I had no interest in him, once he became a Hydra agent, it was like, "Oh, okay, suddenly you're cool." And I thought that was very well handled.
I can remember his origins, where like they show him being recruited as a young kid,
yeah,
and they were basically building him up so when he gets in the S.H.I.E.L.D. he's actually a double agent from so far back they won't catch it. It's not like, oh, he became a double agent while he was in S.H.I.E.L.D. It was like, oh no, I walked into this being a double agent from the very beginning. And so he was indoctrinated to Hydra so far back that he was a true, I mean, he was hardcore. He's one of those guys that believed in it. So I was kind of like, ah, that's pretty cool.
Well, and to a large degree, he and Daisy, Sky, whatever, were the POV characters. They were like the people that we were being introduced to and kind of carried the first season.
Yeah.
So to see him turn, you know, break that, that was did you see one of the highlights of season one. Yeah.
Did you see it coming though?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Good job.
That yeah, great job. Yeah.
I
do have to say though, I did miss that last act, you know, or that reveal. You know, they were not able to fucking just turn everything upside down on you in the second season the way they had in the first.
Sure. Okay.
But overall, I think season two was much better than season one. It didn't have but overall,
my argument is each season gets better than the last. Like they get their leggings, they start.
I can't make that argument.
Really?
No. But we'll discuss that in a later time.
Okay. I was about to say way. You're not going to say season three was better than season two?
No.
Really?
Specifically. I mean, spoilers, I hated season three. I hated season three more than any other season of Marvel.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord. You can't give that away.
Yeah, no. Hated season three. But we'll get to that on a later time.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bobby's phone's back in service.
Could be a trap.
First person through this door. Brains everywhere.
You are leading them into a war.
Shield must be destroyed. Take her with you. Restrain her.
Director Coulson, we are under attack from an unknown number of gifted assailants. They have killed dozens of my men. We need your help.
Now what?
Now we begin.
I believe Cal took these. I think it's an ill-conceived attempt at super strength.
Uh-oh. Now it's just you and me.
It's Gordon, right? And you are? I'm the guy who kills Gordon.
S.H.I.E.L.D. wants us to be afraid, to fracture. But we're all tied together, a history that goes back thousands of years. They will not take that away from us.
Your mother isn't leading our people. She's misleading them. It's you who are destined to lead.
You ready to refocus your energies?
Team centered around people with powers?
At some point you might have mentioned that Backup was a lethal cyborg.
Truthfully, I just wanted to see the look on your face when he showed up.
I'm done flying solo. I miss having a team. I want more names.
What did he do?
Science. Biatch. Damn.
What the hell were you thinking?
I just saved your life.
You don't think I knew that guy was behind me? This is what makes you so aggravating to be
Hence
with.
Not with me anymore. Lucky us.
Yeah, really?
We have to do this. It may feel like things have cooled down right now, but we'll always be paying the price. We'll never get ahead of the consequences that I, that you, that S.H.I.E.L.D. have set in motion.
Like a ripple in the water.
This ripple won't fade. It'll grow and grow until it's a tidal wave.
While I was gathering old Marvel Superheroes podcast audio clips for our DC special on the Aquaman movie, I was reminded how this show used to run about 45 minutes and how much I've missed that. We have a lot of mail that we need to catch up on, and I have an episode in mind where it'd be a good place where we could spend, you know, 20 minutes to a half hour and cover that. Because this episode is already a little over an hour, and that's a nice, tight little length there, I really don't want to overburden it with a bunch of additional mail, so we're going to go ahead and defer that and just stick with the basics this time, and either on the next podcast or the one afterwards, we should be able to address the mail in greater depth. So recent episodes on Facebook have been interacted with by Ali Batts, DeBaish, Derek William Crabb, Gautam Shioran, Keith G. Baker, Richard Field, and Ryan Daly. On Twitter, retweet frantic ones include Ed Moore through Indie Comics Fan and Miskatonic, as well as Nathaniel Devon Sanford, Relatively Geeky, Siskoid, and Web411. Keepers of the Favorites flame include Anime Freaks, Anime Nostalgia, BJ Mendelsohn, Bart Allen, Big Easy 77, Bill Squishy, Chris at Bad Books for Beginners, Daniel French at Frishponius Sound Design, Eb DeSam, G.A. Sanchez, Geek to Me Radio, Jacob Lent, Jeff Freshcorn, Jeremiah French, Jeremy Whitworth, Jesus Melendez T., John D. Knoll, John Horsley, Justice First Dawn, Longbox Crusade, Jordan Cully, Law Lost Soul, Leslie C. Gonzalez, Lord Jack, Marvel Mythos Podcast, Masters of the Nerdiverse Podcast, Max Romero, Nerdfix Strangers, The Nerdgrounds Jake, Nerds Chatting Movies, TV, Comics, Nicole, Nuno Quaresma, Ranger Gord, Rise Wortham, Richard G., Richard Thunderbay, Secret Wars and Beyond Podcast, Sean Merrick, Shim Ortiz, Steve Sellers, Tara Rose, Terry Mayo, Tim Price, Tiny Toy Robot Z, Toy Lab, and Words and Pictures. Finally, the Mary Marvel Marching Society, 20th Century Geek, 108 Sage, Allie Batts, Amy Stewart Hale, Dr. Ange, Anthony the Insomniac Drunk Monk of Alterna Fans, Grody's Kitchen, CJ Fock, Caroline Wells, Checkered Past Podcast, The Cinebuds Podcast, Coffee and Comics Podcast, Collected Edition, Comic Book Dude 85, Darren Ruth Sutherland, Doc Strange, who offered us a praying hands emoji, Dirk Ashton, Ed Moore at Hill Productions, Fair City Podcast, Van Holes Podcast, Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop, Grave Girls, Green Lantern HG, Gregory Litchfield, The Hammer Strikes, Random Geeky Stuff, History of Comics on Film, Ice in the Face, IG88, Jeffrey Brown, Jennifer DeRoss, Just in Time with the J&T Baggers, Keith G. Baker, Ken Barr Jr., Kyle Benning Likes Comics, The List Game, Long Box of Darkness, Man Brain Podcast, Nexus Fall Realities Podcast, Nicole, Odell Abner Dracula, Paul Matthew Carr, Rad Adventures Podcast Network, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Richard Field, Ryan Daily has no resolution for 2019. Scott X, Sean Michael Ortega, who also says thanks and Excelsior, Stockport Super, Stu Perrins, TJ Bax, Tony Scipio, Trekker Talk, Warlord Worlds, Xenozoic Xenophiles, Zach Sally, and Zena Schultz.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
A little prouder, be an innovator, laugh a little louder, grow forever greater, we can show you how to.
If you wake up one day feeling ugly, thinking you're 10 or 12 pounds overweight, but just know I don't care if there's gray in your hair. If there's hair at all, I think that's just great. Now this carnival life that we're riding gives no one the room to start hiding. So I don't want to hear that you've turned a deaf ear to my words and started backsliding. 'Cause then I'll come your way, turn your blackest night into day. When you're needing it bad, 'cause of rough times you've had, I'm gonna look you straight in the eye, baby, and I'm gonna say, who loves you, baby?
Who loves you, baby?
By now you ought to know.
Who loves you, baby?
This is one thing I don't wanna blow.
Baby,
baby, won't you tell me?
Tell me what I wanna know.
Ooh, baby, baby, won't you tell me?
Tell me what I wanna know.
Tell me who loves you, baby. Tell me what I wanna know. I'm the one.
Right, go.
Old school callback.
Shield, you dick.